This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Thanks to all the volunteers who donated their time to help KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Belinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Lavinka.
Deborah Bell.
And Glenn Holt. And on tonight's program, we have a very special guest, and I'm going to keep that a secret from you until it actually happens, so you're just going to have to stay tuned. However, we do have also the Gay Men's Chorus. The Pride Concert is coming up, and we'll have some folks on to talk about that. Lesbian Affairs. Yeah, really. Actually, it's we will have some people on to talk about, what's going on in the lesbian environment. And also the HGLPTPC. Boy, that's a mouthful. Outvote Voter ID Project. We'll be identifying voters before the parade, and they need a lot of volunteers. But coming up first, a piece of music while we set up our special secret guest on Queer Voices. As I was promising a little bit earlier, our very special guest, and I'm going to leave it to Brian to do the introductions.
Well, let me welcome the legendary Joan Jett to our little show, Queer Voices, here in Houston, Texas. Joan, are you out there?
I'm here.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure.
This just happened at the last minute, and I'm so glad you could join us. I understand you're on tour now with the True Colors. How's that going?
Yeah, we're just about to start. We haven't done our first show yet, but we're just about to start. I'm really looking forward to it, so I can't wait to get going.
Is your first show here in Houston?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. You know what? It's really hot here right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's very steamy.
I like to sweat.
Well,
good.
It'll be steamier when Joan gets here.
Exactly.
The temperature's going to go up another 10 degrees when you get here.
Joan, yeah. You're talking to Jennifer Renee, Brian Lavinka, Deborah Bell, and I don't know if Jeff Belinsky might pipe in, but since you are like an icon of one of the early, as Brian said, badass, hot rocker chicks, you were like the first hard-driving rocker that was female that I can recall, And here you are on our little radio station talking to us about being here for the True Colors Tour. And tell us a little bit how you got involved with this Cyndi Lauper's project.
Well, of course, I was aware that she started a tour last year, and it was very successful. And I've known Cyndi for years, you know, because we know each other from the early 80s, and we're friends through much of our early success. And so it was really great to be asked to be part of this. So they just asked if we'd be interested in doing some shows, and I think that it's great to be involved.
How many songs will you be performing?
I'm not sure how many songs it's going to work out to be, but I'd say about 45 minutes.
Really? I was doing a little research, and I was listening to some of your songs, and Crimson and Clover, and I Love Rock and Roll, Bad Reputation.
We'll be doing them all.
And I love your cover of Love Is All Around.
Yep.
Thank you.
I was jamming to that today. My boyfriend's like, turn it down.
If we can fit it in, we'll do that, too.
Now, your manager sent over some kind of interesting tidbits about you that that our listeners may not know.
Okay, what's that?
For example, you were the first female artist to own her own record label. Is that true?
Well, yeah, it was pretty early on there because I really had no choice because labels did not want to sign me after the Runaways broke up. I guess we had sort of a somewhat bad reputation, which is kind of where that title stemmed from. But as we approached record companies and my songwriting partner and producer, Kenny Laguna, you know, he had a lot of relationships in the business, and he would talk to his friends in record companies and say that he was working with a talented artist and, you know, could they give us a deal, and nobody wanted to help, and we couldn't get signed, and I've got 23 rejection letters from all the major and minor labels, and I still have it. And they heard songs, they heard I Love Rock and Roll, they heard Crimson and Clover, they heard Do You Want to Touch Me, they heard Bad Reputation. So that either tells you don't listen to the music, people send them, or they can't hear hits. But so I was sort of forced to do our own record and our own label if we wanted to get our music out there. So Kenny borrowed some money from his infant daughter's college fund at the time. He printed up like 500 albums probably at first and started selling them out of the trunk of the car. And that was our first Blackheart Records office and first store, I guess. And now we're 25 years later. We're actually a real label and signing other acts. And one of the acts is actually on some of the True Colors dates, Girl in a Coma.
Oh, yes. So before Madonna, there was Joan Jett with her own label, out there kicking butt, I guess. I think you're best known for your song, I Love Rock and Roll, and I know that Rolling Stone selected that as one of the top 100 guitar songs of all time.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I'm real proud of that.
And the other thing that you were recognized for, you are one of two women that was selected as top 100 guitarists of all time. So the only
and
two.
And that was another, by Rolling Stone, which is pretty cool, too.
I did all my research. And you were voted the sexiest vegetarian by PETA.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good to know. I didn't hear that one.
See, we've got lots of information on this show. So when you come, Brian makes sure that he has all the details.
Absolutely. I'm excited. When your manager called me to say you were going to come on the show, I was giddy.
I'm assuming everyone is going to be at the show, right?
I'm going to be there for sure. It's for our listeners, we're listening to Joan Jett. She will be performing this Saturday at the True Colors Concert at Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion out in the Woodlands. It starts at 6 o'clock. Everybody knows where the Woodlands Pavilion is. Joan, have you performed there before?
No, it sounds like it's outside, though.
It's like an outside pavilion with like a little hill, and you kind of sit on the grass and enjoy your drinks.
Right.
The covered area is air-conditioned.
Yeah, you'll be in the nice covered part. We'll be out in the sweaty part.
Oh, I don't like air conditioning. No, I want to sweat.
Yeah.
Now,
you'll get your chance to, but you'll have an audience in seats up front, and then you'll have the hillside will be covered with people.
That's great. I can't wait.
Now, I understand you're a very, very busy lady, and you don't have very much time to talk to us. Is there anything else you want us to hear about or let us know, let our listeners know?
Well, for any aspiring guitar players out there, Gibson Guitars, I'm also the first woman to have a signature guitar. which they just made, which is a Joan Jett Melody Maker. It's kind of like, you know, Les Paul has a guitar.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. But it's a Melody Maker. And so I'm really proud of that. It's got my name on it and everything, and it's they built it to my specs, and it's a perfect guitar if you're a beginner learning to play, or if you're an experienced player, it's great for that too.
One question. I know you've been around a while. When you've worked with other people, who's the favorite person that you've worked with over the years?
Oh, I've worked with such an array of people that I'd say, you know, you can't really pick just one. It's kind of like the Lay's potato chips, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing. I mean, I've had so many amazing experiences in my life, you know, meeting all sorts of famous people and not famous people and been to so many places in my life. To choose one experience or one person, first of all, it would take me a little while to think of a few. You know, to narrow it down. But I can't, off the top of my head, nothing.
Okay, well, thanks.
Okay. I wanted to ask now.
How about Liza Minnelli?
Yeah, Liza.
That's it.
She was fabulous on the Tony Awards last
Liza
night.
Liza with the Z.
Well, I loved her in Cabaret when I was a kid, and that's kind of started me off on wanting to be in showbiz, you know?
Well, one of the other tidbits that Brian brought up to me was that you were one of the first people to wear SM studs and leather on stage.
You were the...
Are you part of the leather community?
I don't know. I couldn't say that I was the first, because I probably wasn't. But but I have worn a lot of leather and latex and enjoy it very much. And
will we see that on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of options. I've got the bathing suit tops, just in case it's super hot, like in the 100-degree range.
It's going to
wear that.
Latex and leather, I'll be, you know, you guys will have to mop me up afterwards if I
Oh, I'll volunteer for that.
You'll take mop duty?
Yes, absolutely. And now that young woman whose college fund was raided, she has graduated from college by now, right?
She has, and guess what? She runs Blackheart Records.
Well, there you
go.
It paid off.
Great to know. That's a great end to that story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'll let Brian wrap it up.
Well, I invite our listeners to go to JoanJett.com. It's a great website. It has a lot of information about her tours and her songs and her biography. And also go to TrueColorsTour.com. to get information about this weekend's concert featuring many artists, including the wonderful Joan Jett.
And thanks for being with us on Queer Voices.
Well, thanks for having me on Queer Voices, and I'll see you all on Saturday, right?
See you there.
Thank you, Joan.
Great. Thank you.
This is Queer Voices.
I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm Pam Marshall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 14, 2008. Norway has become the sixth country in the world to establish marriage equality for same-gender couples. Legislation requiring civil marriage terminology to be gender neutral passed in the parliament this week by a vote of 84 to 41. A 1993 law created civil unions for gay and lesbian couples, providing most of the rights of marriage, but they couldn't adopt children. The new law allows adoption and also permits lesbians to be artificially inseminated. Norway joins Spain, Belgium, the Netherlands, South Africa, Canada, and the U.S. states of Massachusetts and California to open civil marriage to same-gender couples.
Gays and lesbians and their supporters staged large LGBT pride marches this week in three European capitals where queer rights are being challenged. In Rome, about 10,000 pride participants protested Italy's new right-of-center government and its Catholic Church allies for opposing legislation granting limited rights to same-gender couples. Attempts by the former government of Romano Prodi to pass the bill were stymied by right-wing members of his coalition and the Vatican. The legislation died when voters returned Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's conservative government to power. Rome's new right-of-center mayor denounced his city's pride march as an act of sexual exhibition.
About 2,000 gays and lesbians and their supporters in Athens called for legal recognition of same-gender relationships during their pride march, many carrying signs that read, "Yes to civil marriage." Police had to intervene to separate right-wing protesters from march participants. Greece's conservative government has moved to annul the marriages of two same-gender couples that were conducted last week and prosecute the small-town mayor who performed them.
About 2,000 people attended Warsaw's second legal Pride March. The event had been banned until 2007 by former Mayor Lech Kaczynski, who is now Poland's president. Queer activists took Kaczynski to the European Court of Human Rights, which ruled that the ban was illegal. A public opinion survey released last week, however, found that more than 60% of the Polish population believe homosexuality is an illness.
Following a storm of protests late this week, Budapest police chief lifted a ban he'd originally imposed on this year's Pride Parade in the Hungarian capital. Gabor Toth had claimed that the parade, scheduled for July 5th, would obstruct major traffic routes. 15 Hungarian LGBT groups, a Hungarian member of the European Parliament, the mayor of Budapest, and the European wing of the International Lesbian and Gay Association had all denounced the decision to bar the parade. Peaceful LGBT pride marches have been held in Budapest for several years. Some participants at last year's pride event, however, were attacked by right-wing extremists. Hungary's Registered Partnership Act, granting same-gender couples many of the rights of marriage, goes into effect in January.
Organizers said about 375,000 people attended the annual three-day Pride Festival this week in West Hollywood, California, many celebrating impending marriage equality in the Golden State. Under sunny skies, an estimated 175,000 revelers enjoyed the Pride Parade on June 8th, with its usual complement of scantily clad dancers of all genders gyrating to decibel-busting beats on festively decorated sound trucks and floats, social service, religious, political, and musical marching units, and government officials, including Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. Aussie pop star Olivia Newton-John headlined one of the evening concerts during the festival.
About 1,500 people took part in the 9th Pride Parade in Seoul, South Korea, on May 31st. Starting and ending at Berlin Square, the route was the longest ever. Festivities between noon and 6 p.m. included entertainment at the square before and after the parade. A party ran late into the night at a local club.
Elsewhere, soon after Gambian President Yahya Jammeh had threatened to cut off the head of any homosexual in the country, police in the West African nation arrested two gay Spanish men in late May for allegedly propositioning male taxi drivers. Reports said the drivers feigned interest in the come-ons and lured the tourists to a rendezvous point secretly arranged with police officials, who arrested the men when they arrived at the location. The Spanish embassy reported that the men were released after 5 days in jail and quickly left the country.
A Ugandan court this week released three gay men on bond who had been arrested for protesting discrimination against sexual minorities during an international HIV/AIDS conference in the capital city of Kampala. The protesters denounced organizers for not involving them in the conference and asked the meeting to pressure Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni into accepting them as a minority group. Museveni, however, has a long history of outspoken homophobia. The three men, charged with criminal trespass with intention to annoy and insult participants, were among 13 gay people arrested as they staged the protest. They face a court hearing in the coming week. The others were freed for lack of evidence.
A Cairo appeals court has upheld the 3-year prison sentences of 5 Egyptian men arrested in a crackdown on people thought to be HIV positive. 4 other HIV positive men have been jailed for a year as a result of the campaign targeting the crime of habitual practice of debauchery. At least 3 other men were arrested, but then released months later when they were found to be HIV negative. All 12 men were force-tested for HIV and subjected to anal probes to prove they had not engaged in sodomy. Those who tested HIV positive were reportedly chained to hospital beds for months. Joe Amon, a director of the HIV/AIDS program at Human Rights Watch, called the jail sentences inhuman and unjust. Fear has trumped justice in a court of law.
A Turkish court ordered the closure of the Lambda Istanbul Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transvestite, and Transsexual Solidarity Association in late May, citing unspecified errors and deficiencies in the group's bylaws. The case against the group was brought by the Istanbul Governor's Office, which argued that the group's name itself and its objectives are illegal and offend society's moral values and family structure. The court did not rule on that claim. Lambda Istanbul, which formed in 1993 and officially registered as an association in 2006, called the action an affront to human rights and vowed to continue its activities pending a higher appeals court ruling.
Meanwhile, two more European LGBT rights organizations were narrowly recommended this week for consultative status at the United Nations. COC Netherlands and Spain's Federación Estatal de Lesbianas, Gays, Transsexuales y Bisexuales will first be able to voice their opinions to the UN's Economic and Social Council, or ECOSOC, at its next meeting in New York City in July. The ECOSOC is made up of 19 countries and assists in providing information to the General Assembly. Both groups overcame denial of their applications for consultative status at a January meeting of the ECOSOC Non-Governmental Organization Committee. Colombia, Dominica, Israel, Peru, Romania, the United Kingdom, and the United States supported granting consultative status to each group in this week's vote. China, Egypt, Pakistan, Qatar, Russia, and Sudan were opposed. Representatives from Angola, Burundi, Guinea, India, Turkey, and Cuba were not present for the vote. LGBT organizations were first given consultative status in 2006. The International Lesbian and Gay Association has urged other groups to apply. The ECOSOC has now granted consultative status to five LGBT organizations.
The Organization of American States, or OAS, has overwhelmingly passed a resolution condemning human rights violations against LGBT people. The resolution on human rights, sexual orientation, and gender identity was supported by 34 of the 35 member countries of the OAS, which brings together the nations of the Western Hemisphere to strengthen cooperation on democratic values, defend common interests, and debate the major issues facing the region and the world. Human Rights Watch called the anti-bias resolution a crucial step to end the silence around violence against LGBT people in the Americas, but cautioned that concrete changes in law and policy must follow. Anti-discrimination measures are currently being considered in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Paraguay. Brazil's president, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, in early June, became the first national leader to spearhead a conference specifically dedicated to promoting LGBT equality. He called homophobia the most perverse disease impregnated in the human head.
And finally, in what she describes as the easiest coming out experience that anyone could possibly have, Catherine Patrick, the youngest daughter of African-American Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, talked about telling her parents that she's a lesbian during an exclusive interview with the family this week in the Boston-based LGBT Bay Windows newspaper. The governor said they agreed to the interview to make the news public on their own terms. Rather than have someone do a gotcha and are giving the misimpression that this wasn't completely natural in our family, he said, we thought, all right, let's just say it and move on. Catherine Patrick, who since March has been interning at the LGBT rights group Mass Equality, said that when she told her father and mother about a year ago, he simply gave her a big hug saying, well, we love you no matter what, as Mother Diane joined in. The 18-year-old came out to them about 3 weeks after state lawmakers rejected putting a constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage before the voters. Governor Patrick supported maintaining the marriage equality law that followed the 2004 state high court ruling ordering it and lobbied legislators to stop the proposed amendment from reaching the ballot. He didn't know that I was gay then, Catherine told the paper. For someone so publicly to fight for something that doesn't even affect him was just like, that's my dad.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 14th, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Pam Marshall.
And I'm Chris Wilson.
This is Queer Voices.
Well, I think that song was about that blouse that Whoopi was wearing last night at the Tony Awards.
Wasn't that crazy?
She was great, though, in all her little things that she would do. And raise your hands. How many of you watched the Tony Awards last night?
That Rent with the original cast. Oh, my God. It was
people
awesome.
In the audience for Christ. Tabula Pone was like...
I'm a gay Broadway theater fag. So.
Yeah, well, you're not alone.
Okay, that was Be a Clown by the Gay Men's Chorus. And in the studio tonight, we have the lovely Colleen Fisher.
Following Joan Jett, we have the ever lovely and also badass hot mama, Colleen Fisher.
Well, thank you.
And you're the general manager of the Bayou City Performing Arts.
Yes.
You're the email diva.
I am the email diva.
Like, oh no, another Colleen
email. Another Colleen email. What are we going to do?
So this is the Gay Men's Chorus Pride Week performance. They did an incredible job last year with the Judy Garland tribute.
Well, thank you.
And so what's in store for this year?
This year, we've decided to finish the incredible Robert Seeley trilogy. GMCH has performed Exile and Naked Man. Naked Man's first, Exile second, and Metamorphosis is the third in this musical trilogy that Robert's written with his partner Robert.
Gets Robert
very
and
confusing.
Robert
and Robert. It's like Robert's two
bobs.
Exactly. Exactly. So the really wonderful thing is it's a really powerful sort of wrap up of kind of the human condition that a lot of people in the GLBT community go through. But it's great because it kind of moves beyond just the GLBT community and just talks to who we are as people, and just talks about this sort of journey from birth to coming out and reconciling with his family and all those things that we go through as people and all those different life stages and questionings and things that we go through. And that's the second act. And then for the first act, we are bringing a group of 80 singers to Miami to the Gay and Lesbian Choral Festival in Miami, Florida this year.
Ooh.
So the first act is the men's set from Miami, which has some really great pieces that everyone will remember. And then it also has a couple of pieces by the Chorale. The biggest piece and the one we're most excited about is a commissioned piece by a poem written called Love Song. And it was written by a poet. Of course, Mark's last name is now going to escape me.
No pressure.
Yeah. Right out there.
I know, exactly. It's God. But Mark,
fill in the blank.
Yeah, Mark, you dot dot
wonderful
dot,
poet,
exactly,
that
exquisite poet, was standing outside the steps of the San Francisco Town Hall, watching all of these couples line up to get married, and this was several years ago, right when San Francisco was, you know.
And the mayor said, it's okay, and I'll marry you.
Exactly. And everyone was coming out like crazy.
Gavin Newsom, we love him.
Yeah. So he wrote this beautiful, beautiful poem. And it's so ironic that California just
started
all over again. I mean, it's like right now, I think, actually, in California, everyone's writing out their certificates.
Well,
so
off air, we were talking about how wonderful it was that Del Martin and Phyllis Line, who were the first people married by the mayor back when, were the first couple married today.
Oh, wonderful.
And they have a relationship that has lasted 56 years.
That's incredible.
And they're pioneers of the GLBT movement as well as the feminist movement, and it's just, you know, It's like, I want that. I want to find someone and have that.
No pressure.
Wherever you are out there.
50 years, that's like 200.
Maybe it'll be Joan Jett.
That's like 200.
When I mop her up.
50 years in a gay-lesbian relationship is like 200 years in a straight relationship. I mean, that's like two lifetimes.
I know.
That's great. On the cover of The Advocate, we're just kind of a little segue, that is the Great California Marriage Rush, and talking about, you know, the new movement in California.
Mm-hmm.
But this Saturday is the concert, and it's at Jones Hall.
It is.
And no one's getting married there.
No one's getting married. We're just singing about it.
You're going to be married.
Could be. You never know. One of these days, Texas will figure itself out and let all of us get married. But until then, we will just bide our time and twiddle our thumbs.
Yeah. Well, I think ultimately they're going to have to, And part of the decision will be based on the Lawrence decision that came out of Texas, which we'll be celebrating next week.
Exactly.
You know, so.
But for sure, definitely Saturday night, 7:30. We know we're up against some stiff competition with the Woodlands concert. So it was a great interview with Joan. I'm so jealous that y'all got to interview her.
Well, I bet if we put you up against her in spandex and leather, you know.
Let me lose about 50 more pounds, and then I'm happy to go head-to-head. No problem.
Well, you know, the True Colors concert is outside, and it's going to be really hot.
It is really hot. And Joan, the fact of the matter is, our drink prices are cheaper. It doesn't cost nearly as much gas to get to Jones Hall.
I know.
And at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have a lot of really non-sweaty, sexy guys to look at on stage. And that's a good thing for half of our audience.
Yeah.
And then for the other half, we've got the ladies who are going to be floating around. There's going to be some eye candy.
You know, Houston's community is big enough. We can have parts of the community go to the Woodlands and parts go down to Jones Hall.
We can. Actually, the really sort of encouraging but yet sort of frustrating thing is that so many people have told us that they are going to the Woodlands Saturday night.
Yeah.
The ticket sales are a little sluggish, but we're completely optimistic that we'll see a huge turnaround this week and just people seeing what their plans are and figuring out.
Usually you sell out.
We usually get really close. That downstairs almost always gets full, and you know, so we've got a tremendous audience.
Queer Voices listeners, this is you. If you have no plans for Saturday,
come out to Jones Hall
Is it bpca.org?
It's BayouCityPerformingArts.org.
Okay.
And the one thing I just wanted to kind of mention to all the different listeners is that the great thing about the HRC concert with everyone up in the Woodlands is that you have this tremendous group of people and this moment of solidarity with so many other people who are feeling the same way you do and want the same things that you do. And it's, you know, social justice mixed with entertainment. Just remember that Bayou City Performing Arts offers you that 5 times a year. You don't have to wait for a concert in the Woodlands to experience that. You know, just come and experience sitting in the house and seeing the guys sing and mixing social justice with entertainment and everything from health issues to just issues of the heart, and that's a little bit more like what Metamorphosis is, and then mixing humor in at the same time. We cover a huge gamut
they do
of
some
stuff.
Great choreography, and
I have to give props to the '80s concert, Totally '80s.
Oh yeah,
oh,
thank
my
you.
God. That was so awesome.
Tell me that the Flyboys of Flag Troop Houston they're amazing.
Yeah.
We were so.
Marco is a good friend of mine. He's kind of the originator of the Flyboys.
They were awesome. We were so
Marco's the best,
honored to
best
have
flagger
great.
In the state.
Go, Marco.
You heard it here.
Woo.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that was a fantastic
concert. So glad you guys
Oh, my God,
it.
The Thriller.
Yeah,
I love the Thriller dance.
Yeah, I was just like, that was my coming out music.
Well, exactly. And then so many people have asked us about the AIDS piece and the that song and the video that goes with it. And we've had other groups like, how do we get it? Where can we find it? So
I know. That was
the video that was worked into all of that was incredible.
Yeah, that was
it was a multimedia experience.
It was. And that's what Metamorphosis is going to be like. We're going to be bringing in some different vignettes, like acted vignettes. We're going to have a soloist dance a couple of the numbers. We're going to have some video involved for people to see. So it really is going to encompass sort of some of those hallmarks that we're really beginning to put into every concert. So it should be good.
It should be really good.
And the people that need to know about this are not people that are going to be able to hear it. But I want to give special acknowledgement to your sign language interpreter.
I know.
I get lost in watching him. He's such an artist.
He's so
He was new. We had a really weird set of circumstances. Jim Lawrence, who's our normal interpreter, he's the
regular
guy, the bow tie vest, great guy. I love him. He's awesome. Couldn't do it. He would be traveling, so we had a replacement. She, unfortunately, for medical reasons, had to back out and suggested Kane, who was our interpreter that night. I've had more comments on Kane's interpreting of that show. They said he did it for everyone. I mean, not only in looks, but just in the energy and what he was saying. I've never experienced.
So I think it's important for any of you who have friends who are in the deaf community.
Hearing impaired, yes.
To let them know, hey, you can go and enjoy this concert too.
And I realize when you look at our seating structure that you would think that the tickets for folks who are hearing impaired would be the most expensive tickets we sell. We don't. We offer those at our lowest ticketed price so that hearing impaired folks do not have to feel financially challenged to come.
Right.
So just know that when you see our lowest ticketed price, that is the price you'll pay to sit in the seat.
I think we reach out and we try to be inclusive by providing interpreters and accessibilities, but we don't always market it enough for people to know.
Well, and sometimes it's tough with choral music because you're not quite sure what to interpret or how to do it, but we have a really great interpreting staff that helps us out and does a great job.
So marvelous. I mean, everything it's become, it's hard to believe that it's not a professional performance group.
Well, and Jim Lawrence does work for I'm not going to be able to think of the name of his group, but he does this for theaters and he does this for cruise ships for different people. Mm-hmm. So he does this for a living.
But I mean the chorus itself.
It's hard
to believe that it's not a professional performance company.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We're very proud of the
really
fact that we
have reached a standard.
Yeah, we're proud that we're a community chorus and that everyone just
now
sings with their heart.
Tell me a little bit more about this thing going on in Florida. It's part of this concert to help raise money to get people to
Florida? This Metamorphosis and all of the pieces from Act One are just part of our standard concert program. We offer 5 concerts a year. And what Gala is 5,000 singing delegates from all over the world get together every 4 years. The Gay and Lesbian Choral Association, which is Gala, started about 25 years ago. It's their 25th anniversary this year. And so every 4 years, they get everyone together, and we just sing our hearts out for 7 days. And the really awesome thing, and what we're really excited about, is that not only are we going to be debuting 2 new full choruses. We're going to be debuting the Bayou City Women's Chorus and the Bayou City Chorale. But we're bringing our 4th small group, which we've just formed. It's a combined voices of men and women. It's called Bayou Rhythms. It's a 12-piece small group, and we're really excited.
Is that like vocal ease?
Yes. It's a male and female joined version of vocal ease.
That was an awesome little group.
And that'll be really cool because there's a lot of community events that the whole chorus can't come perform. But
exactly.
If you have a small group like that, then, you know, let's get them booked.
Gangbusters. They're set. They're ready to go. And they're awesome. So we're really excited. But this is the first time in Gala's history that a single choral organization is actually presenting 4 singing groups at the festival.
Wow.
So we're really excited. We totally rock because Houston kicks several forms of ass.
Now, are there any songs that we would recognize from the first part, the Gala part? Are there any songs like Pride-related songs? Or what are we taking to Florida?
The guys are taking a bit more of a serious set.
It's like a sing down, like whoa.
A little bit.
All the choruses are going to throw down.
They are. They're totally going to throw down. It's going to be mad, crazy curl throwdowns. No one's going to know what's happening in Miami. We'll see news reports from Tom Brokaw asking us what's going on in Miami. We'd be like, everybody just got down here and went to South Beach. It was crazy.
And they were singing, and they were just
exactly. The guy set is hopefully a bunch of stuff that everyone is gonna remember.
As you surf the internet.
As I surf the internet. Don't give away my terrible secret.
I'm sorry, I busted her.
Ask her the one question.
You do realize that James is gonna listen to this tomorrow and he's now gonna be like, "What do you mean you didn't know? You didn't have everything memorized."
Are you gonna be able to go to Florida and get to see all that magnificence?
I am, as a matter of fact. The really great thing is they're paying for me to go.
Yes.
Awesome. Gotta love the job perks.
Yeah.
No. We're actually gonna be staying right near the conference center. So they've got like 5 or 6 of some of the best hotels that they've given really great rates on. We're so excited.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be an awesome.
What a chore.
Let's once again tell people the time, place, location, and how they can get tickets.
Yes. This Saturday, the Metamorphosis Echoes of the Voyage concert will be held at Jones Hall, starting at 7:30, going until 10 o'clock. And everyone knows where Jones Hall is. Now, they can get tickets on the website, is that correct?
Yes, you can order tickets on the web through Friday afternoon.
And that's, what's the website again?
www.BayouCityPerformingArts.org. And if you just look at the bars across the top of the website, it'll take you right to where you need to go. Finally, thank God for the internet. Some of the songs the guys are singing are like Behold Man, which they sang at their House of Hope concert.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was gorgeous. Mm-hmm, beautiful. Behold the Hills of Tomorrow. It's just a great set of like empowerment and hope and luck and faith. And
a very timely concert for this month. And this
Exactly. Very timely. So it's going to be a great, great mix of songs. The show starts at 7:30.
And if people can't get tickets beforehand, they can get them there that
they
night.
Sure
they can just show
no,
up at the box office.
Our listeners are going to sell out this concert.
They are. They're
going to
sell it out.
You,
it's going to be
prefer.
Huge.
Go
yes.
out there and buy concert tickets. We want to support our local.
Yeah, they'll rest a lot easier knowing that you have already
bought
tickets.
Let me tell you, if half of everyone goes to the Woodlands and then the other half come to Jones, we'll both sell out. It'll be a huge event for everyone, and then everyone can fill each other in on blogs and websites and
yeah, exactly.
over coffee about how awesome their show was so that nobody actually has to miss anything.
And also, let's once again tell people about how they, too, can become part of the chorus.
They sure can. We go into hiatus through September, but the first Mondays and Tuesdays after Labor Day. So I believe that that's the 2nd and the 8th, 7th, 8th, somewhere in there. Rehearsals will start back up, and you do not need to be able to read music. Just come on out. James and the artistic staff do an amazing job at helping people get comfortable with performing. You don't have to read music. There are no auditions.
Is that how one auditions? They just come to those first rehearsals?
You just show up
and you sign
a form saying that you're interested. And my personal favorite tagline is, the steering wheel, more than the steering wheel and the shower deserve to hear you. If you think you have a wonderful gift, some people know, but you know what? At the end of the day, more heart, more voices, the merrier. You know, yeah. It's going to be, and next year's our 30th anniversary. So it's huge year for us. We've got some amazing concerts
coming
up.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're excited.
And Colleen Fisher from the Bayou City Performing Arts, thank you for being with us on Queer Voices. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about your competition because we didn't quite wrap up that set.
Well, let's talk about that. Earlier we had the fabulous Joan Jett, who will be appearing this Saturday with the True Colors concert. Also appearing this Saturday, the wonderful Cyndi Lauper, the B-52s, Andy Bell of Erasure, which I love Erasure, Wanda Sykes, who's hilarious, Lily Hayden, and Carson Kressley will be the MC.
Yeah, and Cyndi Lauper began the True Colors tour last year in support of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality, and she was inspired to give back to the GLBT community for the love and support that we've given her throughout her career. And this is true because Girls Just Want to Have Fun is my theme song.
I heard that her brother is gay. Is that...
This is true, too.
And so
sister.
Her sister's gay.
Okay, so she has a family member, and
right.
she feels the need to reach out.
And she says the True Colors Tour is a celebration of the basic values and freedoms that should be shared by all Americans, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity and expression. And so we have legendary icons and some of the newest and coolest acts this generation has to offer. And it's truecolorstour.com for more information.
You can get there's more information, and you can also get tickets on there.
And I really want to advise people to get your friends together. If you're going downtown to Jones Hall or to the Woodlands to carpool.
Yes, do something. Go out and celebrate this month. But as you're saying, carpool, because $4 a gallon.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to, I don't know
how much. Ride Metro, is that?
That certainly is possible to Jones Hall. I don't know about the Woodlands. But
you know what I love about the True Colors concert is all these homosexuals are in the Woodlands and we're kind of all safe. But, you know, it's kind of like, oh, we're out in the Woodlands.
But, you know, there's a lot of straight people that are going to be going to both events as well because we do have allies.
And
I mean, you can't go wrong with this kind of entertainment. And it's just, you know, it's breaking my heart that it's the same night.
Well, you know, it's a great time when we have to choose between two great concerts, you know.
This is true.
It's the wonders of living in Houston, all the opportunities and the cultural events.
I always joke about that when just Jack and I were doing the show that we kind of look at each other and go, you know, what are we going to talk about? Well, I don't know. You know, let's see. I mean, we would scour the newspapers. That was before the internet. We would just like think of, okay, the Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus is meeting.
Yeah,
and
we're trying to spice it up.
There's some kind of fundraiser down at EJ's, and, you know, we would like, please let there be something so that we could talk about and promote it. I don't even know how we got through an hour show back then. And now we do 2 hours, and we have wonderful things like this to bring to you and to talk about. And it's very exciting. I think that this is, I seldom go out to the Woodlands. I mean, that's like South
it's
Dallas
really,
to me.
Really far.
Sometimes I
started getting itchy and scratchy. When I get that far outside the loop. Oh, my God.
I know.
I'm such an interloop person.
Yeah,
some
of us have a reaction to that. And the fact that it is so darn hot, except not in Jones Hall, but it'll be nice and air-conditioned. We have no divided loyalties here, do we?
I say go to one or the other. Pick one. Do something. This is something you can do on Saturday, supporting your community. Go
yes.
out and be proud.
Yes.
This is a very great time.
And actually, the Gay Men's Chorus event is probably a little more economically accessible. And so that might be a consideration as well. And it's going to be a full moon. No, it's a full moon this Wednesday, but it's the summer solstice on Saturday. So it's like, you know, a whole magic time.
It's Pride. Hello.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's a coincidence that Pride happened. You know, there's a wonderful book by David Carter, and I always bring it up this time of year. Before, it was called Stonewall. And it tells all the events that happened over 30-something year, 40 years ago now. Next year will be 40 years since Stonewall.
1969.
Right.
Yeah. 40 years.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was 40 years ago.
But this book is just amazing in the history that it gives, and the fact that he was able to go back so many years later and kind of reconstruct the events.
Well, my partner and I went to New York last year, and we went to the Stonewall Inn.
Yes.
We ran into the bartender that was working that night.
No way.
He was there. His name was Tree.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he gave us the lowdown, and it was great. You know, the rumor is that a drag queen started the fight with the
cops. Well, there's also a newspaper documentation that it was a butch dyke.
He said it was a lesbian.
Yeah.
So lesbian power unite.
Yeah.
Social.
But there were some kind of gender bending things going on, so we'll never really know for sure the identity. But it was the idea that for the first time we fought back.
It was the first time we took a stand as a community.
Yeah, in the 50s, as Del Martin and Phyllis Londo, I mentioned earlier, had the Daughters of Bilitis, which was in the 1950s, and there was the Mattachine Society. So there was already groups organizing. They even had a magazine where they talked about gay marriage. I mean, you know, there was things going on, but it was still so secretive and underground. And then after Stonewall, I mean, that really just busted the closet doors open, and you know, here we are these many years later, still working for full equality.
Well, we're still working, but we're talking about gay marriage. I mean,
yes.
Imagine that.
Yes.
Within the period of 30 years that this social change has happened.
Yeah.
Well, and it's happening.
And the conversation that keeps coming up is actually using the word gay even applicable anymore. I mean, if you look at the 20-somethings that are coming up, the Gen Y.
I call them the queerest folk generation.
Yeah, and the Gen Ats, I mean, where everything is a text message. It's really, my nieces and nephews don't see it. They're just like, oh, Aunt Colleen's in love and Aunt Kelly rocks. And there's no, they're just like, whatever. They don't care.
Yeah.
And so it's changing slowly. And as we see the generations change, it's an awesome shift. And so hopefully those flags and fires will keep burning.
And I think it's just the message that we get from PFLAG so strongly and that Cyndi Lauper is demonstrating. When you know and love someone who's gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender, it makes it a lot harder to hate them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's true. I mean, everybody's got 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. I mean, we all know.
Although
somebody,
the lesbian community, it's never more than two.
It's no.
I don't know about that.
No, you wouldn't know, but Colleen and I know.
You gotta be one to know it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
It is so true. It's so true.
Okay, so let's recap.
Recap.
This Saturday, you have two wonderful events to choose from. One is the True Colors concert happening at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, starting at 6 o'clock, having a whole bevy of wonderful entertainers. Go to truecolorstour.com. And the other event is the Metamorphosis Echoes of the Voyage concert with the Gay Men's, or the Bayou City Performing Arts.
But featuring the Gay Men's Chorus.
The Gay Men's Chorus. That starts at 7:30 at Jones Hall.
Yes.
And when will the next women's concert be? Is it closed for the season?
It is closed for the season. Okay. We just closed
that
out the 40 show.
Yeah,
so their next concert will be December for their holiday concert.
Okay.
But we're hoping to have a huge kickoff party in October. So hopefully we won't keep our audience waiting too long.
All righty. All right. Well, thanks again,
Colleen,
for being
with
us.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Voices.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to leave out with some more music.
Yes, we do have a little medley here.
All right, medley.
We love the medleys.
Fade to black.
Join KPFT on the night of the Pride Parade, Saturday, June 28th, for special programming all evening. We kick it off at 9 p.m. just after the parade starts with Queer Life, Queer Planet, a three-hour LGBT Pride Month special from Pacifica Radio. We will look at Pride in the U.S. and internationally with stories of queer people in Bolivia, Nigeria, Cuba, and closer to home. We include thoughtful discussions as well as queer music and social satire, and we look at Pride celebrations around the country. And at midnight, KPFT airs Remembering Stonewall, a Pacifica Radio Archives documentary exploring the Stonewall Rebellion, whose anniversary provides the inspiration for these international celebrations. And then stay tuned for After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude from 1 to 4 a.m. Again, KPFT's Pride Programming Marathon starts the night of the parade, Saturday, June 28th at 9 p.m. right here on KPFT Houston.
And did you know that KPFT is now broadcasting in HD, or high definition? And you can hear KPFT, on FM, like you are right now, or on HD1, same program stream, and then also HD2, which is a different program stream. And on HD2, on weekdays, 7 and 8 a.m., Democracy Now! At 3 p.m., Free Speech Radio News. At 6 p.m., Hard Knock Radio from KPFA. And then at 7 p.m., Flashpoints, and again from KPFA. And that's weekdays. On Mondays at 3:30 p.m., Electromagnetic Radio, which is a radio theater that's produced locally. And Saturdays at 10 a.m., Uprising Weekly. And so that's just an example of the sorts of things that you can hear on KPFT HD2. And don't forget that regular programming is on HD1, and also regular programming is also available streaming on the Internet. Thomas, What Am I Gonna Do With You? From his 2006 CD, Faith Unashamed. And we'd like to thank J.D. Doyle, who provides the queer music for this show. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Well, June is Pride Month.
Yes, it is. And this is the celebration of our 30th year of celebrating Pride here in Houston, as far as the parade and all the festivities. And it's coming up on the Pride Parade on the 28th of June.
Yes. Now, if you picked up the official Pride Guide, which has been coming out for a number of years, they have last year's date mentioned in June 23rd, 2007. That is not correct. It is June 28th. And actually, probably a better listing of what's going on this month is in OutSmart.
They've right, there's a terrific article, a history of Pride, that you just need to pick up OutSmart and read it. It's an important read for everyone in our community.
Right. It's not only about the history, but all the events, and many of them are not official Pride events, but they are events that happen during Pride that are Pride-related events. And also, there's a very good write-up of the Grand Marshals this year, which I'm very proud of. Of course, Dalton DeHart is a male Grand Marshal, and Kelly McCain is the female Grand Marshal, along with the AIDS Foundation. And so if you want to find out everything that's going on in Pride, probably the best thing is to pick up this current month's OutSmart. Now, the GLBT Political Caucus...
Yes, there's more that's going on, and the GLBT Political Caucus is going to be working the parade like it does every year. But what's exactly they're going to be doing, Jack?
Well, we're working on a project to do voter IDing. Now, that sounds like voter registration, but it's not exactly. What voter IDing is we're going to be walking around. Hopefully, we're working on getting upwards of 100 volunteers, but we still don't have enough. We don't have that confirmed. And if you're interested in joining along with us, we'd certainly love to have you. On the Friday before Pride, which will be June 27th, at the Haven Center, which is at 1827 West Alabama, at 7:15 p.m., we're going to be doing a little training session and rally. So it's not all just like you're going to sit there for an hour and we're going to go over. Where it's just going to take a very short time to talk about what we're doing and about why we're doing it and sort of a little bit of a training. But we're also going to be basically having some food and drink, and it's going to be a good old time. Good old gay time.
Good old gay time.
And then on Saturday, the day of the parade, starting around 7 p.m., but ending before the parade starts, so you will still be able to watch the parade. What we'll be doing is you'll be walking around clipboards and talking to people and basically asking them to sign these cards so that we can get their name and their address and phone number and email, which is very, very important these days. And then that way we could put them in our database and then be able to notify them when it's election time, whenever there's a need for an action or something. And that is really, really what's more important. Then if we find, because we have access to the Harris County voter database, that if they're not registered to vote, we will then mail out cards to them and ask them to register and vote. And, you know, what's a lot of these people do voter registration, but the whole thing that's really important is that, you know, even in this time in the primary when we had record turnouts, that was still less than 50% of the registered voters.
Exactly. And so, and for our community especially, this is the opportunity when we all gather from around the city and around the area to come in here to get your name on the list. If you're registered to vote, fine. If you're not registered to vote. But there's another reason to stop when you see them with their T-shirt on and they've got the clipboard. Stop them and give them your name and contact information clearly, because you're eligible for a door prize. That's a $100 gas card, and in this day and age with $4 gas going to $5,
This gives you an opportunity, just by giving us your name and information, you have the opportunity to win several $100 gas cards, which will come in real handy in the upcoming months. So this is a double opportunity. One, you're helping out. You're getting your name so that you'll be informed of what's going on in the elections, getting the endorsements, getting that contact information, staying in touch with our community on a regular basis, but also being able to fill up your car with some gas a couple of times.
Well, it's really important because our community is very mobile, and they move all the time. So one of the things we'll also be checking to see is, are you registered at your current address? And if you're not, we'll also send out one of those voter registration cards, which you can update your address. And then that way, when you go vote in November, there won't be any question like, oh, are you still living here? Or they can't deny you from voting.
And there's a lot of problems with that. And we found in the last election that, if you go back to your precinct where your last address was, there may or may not be a problem. But if your ID has changed or you've moved, you need to change your voter registration. And if you follow the state regulations, you're supposed to change your driver's license with the new address within 30 days. In which case you can just check off the voter registration when you fill out your application. If you don't do that, you could find on election day that you're going to have to go to another location to vote, or your vote may not count. It'll go into that deep black hole that the current administration puts in there.
Well, and if any of you saw that movie on HBO recently called Recount,
Oh my gosh.
It's really sort of important because there are some times that these election places do sort of drop people's names on purpose. Now, I'm not saying that's happening here in Harris County, but it's always good to keep your information up to date because every 2 years they send out cards to check on your voter registration, and they do not forward them purposely. So
that's right.
So
if they come back, you're dropped from the rolls.
Right. So it's really important that you do that. You could go online at harrisvotes.org and check to see if you're up to date. But if you're out at the Pride Parade, and also the Pride Parade is the largest gathering of the GLBT community in the entire Southwest. So that's why it's really important. That's why we're really trying to get about 100 volunteers to help and get us. And we're not doing this alone. This is not only the GLBT political cause. Because Equality Texas is also working with us, and I think we're going to have some other community organizations helping out.
Exactly. We're partnering with several other organizations to make sure we get the best coverage of this event as far as voter IDing, getting your names and addresses. Remember that, this is just for our community to communicate with one another, and so that's important to know, too. Also, many times in the past, somebody would say, yeah, I'm registered to vote. Only after we got the information, we checked the voter registration rolls, and they weren't registered to vote. They thought they were, but they weren't.
Because they haven't voted in a long time.
That's right. Just because you voted, 4 years ago in the last presidential election does not mean you're registered to vote now, unless you voted in between. So it's vitally important. If you want to be a part of making this election important to you, and you being an important part of that election, you need to be registered to vote. So if there's any doubt in your mind whether you're registered, you can go to harrisvotes.org and check out yourself. But if you're at the Pride Parade or early, which most people are around 7 o'clock, look for those people with the clipboards and the T-shirts on and ask them to allow you to sign up, because not only do you get the information, we'll check to update, make sure you're registered to vote. If you're not, we'll send you a registration card so you can fill it out and mail it back to the county. And you have an opportunity for the door prize.
Well, and it is very important because we've got a very important election coming up this fall. And it's not just a presidential race. There's races all the way up and down the ballot, everything from congressional races, a senatorial race. And, there's talk about that Texas may not be all that important for the presidential race. You never know, of course. In politics, things always change. But what is very important, there's a senatorial race up. There's a congressional races up. There's a bunch of state representatives, state senate.
And judges.
Judges are very, very important. The fact that just as today in California, they're allowing people to get married. The only way that that's going to change here is by electing officials that understand our issues that we've been able to talk to. And it's not going to happen overnight. Yeah. But
it's important for us to work to elect fair-minded elected officials and judges who will seek out and seek to administer equality for everyone, not just for a few, and segregate others. It's important. And fair-minded, the caucus has endorsed them. There's other people. I don't want to be partisan about it. But the fact is that we should, as a community, always look for the fair-minded candidates and elected officials, because those are the ones that, when it comes down to it, when we are there in maybe a courthouse or maybe in front of the judge, we want to know that the person that behind there in those robes is fair-minded and will administer justice fairly and equally amongst everyone.
So if you're interested in volunteering for this one event, and of course you can volunteer for other events, but we're specifically talking about the Pride Voter ID Project, you can either call us at 713-521-1000, very easy to remember, 713-521-1000, or you can email me, jack@thecaucus.org.
And it's the Outvote Project.
Yes. And we're really wanting to get a lot of people involved, because this is the first step, and this is all we're asking you to do. But if you want to get involved further, there's other things that are going to be going on in the summer, like entering these names into the database and doing some block walking and working for some specific campaigns that we're trying to coordinate. And it's really, really exciting, because there is a countywide coordinated campaign, and the caucus is playing an important part in that. As we have already endorsed a number of candidates, because we want to get started early on this project.
Oh, absolutely. And remember that this is an opportunity for your vote to count, not just in the ballot box, but also on the street, getting other people their names and information so that we can let them know when to vote and what the circumstances are. Early voting begins a month in advance. We've got to be ready then. Voting actually begins mid to first of
mid-October.
Mid-October is when the election really begins. So it's not that far away. So please take a few moments, contact jack@thecaucus.org, and volunteer. Be part of the Before Pride Parade activities for the caucus and for Equality Texas and the other participating partners in voter IDing. And remember, there is a door prize, and you could win some gasoline.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Actually, that's an outdoor prize. Not a door prize. It's an outdoor prize.
Oh, thank you very much.
your shadows chasing. Here come the lesbians.
Here come the lesbians.
Here come the lesbians.
Here come the lesbians.
The leaping lesbians.
That was Sue Fink, Leaping Lesbians. This is Queer Voices.
That's right. Right here on Queer Voices, Deborah Bell, we're going to be talking about leaping lesbians,
that's
aren't we,
right,
Jennifer?
We're all leaping in here.
Well, Jennifer is hoping to leap into some kind of...
Lesbian affair.
Yeah, this is our lesbian affairs program for the month, and I've invited the lovely Allison Vogt.
Yes.
Who, by the way, is a distant relative of Eleanor Roosevelt. I just thought y'all would all like to know that.
Really?
Another famous lesbian.
That's great.
She is the, let me get the title right. It's the Domestic Abuse and Family Violence.
Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Specialist?
Anti-Violence Program Specialist.
Okay.
Yeah.
It really needs a different name. But
it needs
anyway,
to be jazzier.
It's at the Montrose Counseling Center. And, it's been a couple of years now that they were doing a series on having healthy relationships. And part of that series I attended, and it was about, I think it was something called the In and Outs of Internet Dating or something clever like that. But I was very intrigued by some of the things that came up. And this is something that can be... a frightening prospect or a hopeful prospect or just like, should I even do it? And what am I getting in for? So where does one start if they might want to put their toes in the water of using the internet in this technology age to meet people and...
The best place to start is to start kind of doing your own little research and interview of websites, because not all websites are the same, and there are hundreds of them out there, Match.com and Yahoo, Personals.com. There's just so many websites, but not all of them may be appropriate for you. So making sure that you know which ones would best suit you, looking through the profiles to see whether or not you'd actually even be attracted to anyone who's on the site, making sure that it's a site that's geared towards your age range, towards your orientation. That would be good too.
Yeah. these matching internet sites, do they consider all GLBT people?
No.
Are they limit?
No, there are some limits to some of the sites. Some of the sites are specifically for marriage, like eHarmony.com. They don't have a place for GLBT, so that would not be a site that, it's also very expensive, but it would not be a site that would be appropriate.
That's a good
for
point,
lesbian
because
to go
there
on.
Are some sites that are absolutely free and mm-hmm. others that are going to cost you a pretty penny.
Yes.
And there are people you can meet and converse with just as friends anywhere in the world, and that can be okay too.
Yeah, there are several pen pal sites.
But there are ones, what are some of the better known ones that you would say that would maybe focus for the GLBT community?
Well, I don't really know. I would go with some of the lesser sites, like Yahoo Personals, I think is a good site. They do cater to the GLBT community as well, and it's not that expensive. And you can look through all the profiles for free to begin with, so then that way you kind of know who's on the site. But that's just a personal, like, my idea that hasn't, Montrose Counseling Center isn't really saying specifically
what sites
to go on, but I think that would be a good site to start and look and start reading through the terms and conditions of the site. The other thing is Yahoo lets you set up mail for free. And one of the things that can keep you safe when you're on personal websites is to make a kind of a fake email address. And so that way you submit it to the personal's website, and then it never comes, you never get a whole bunch of junk mail
in the same email address that you have with, that say, your family or your friends write you at.
Uh-huh. How well can we trust what these profiles say?
Well, that's a very good question. I have no idea how to answer that one. Because people embellish like you would not believe. And so I think it's always a good idea to email back and forth several times to get to know the person before setting up a date. And then of course obviously meet in a public place because you never know what you're going to find on the other end of that profile.
I'm trying to think of the name of the one. I guess it's through gay.com, but it's the Planet Out personals. Now you can be on there and not. They have funny rules about you can't really identify yourself so that somebody can find you unless you're paying to have your personal ad there, and then that way you can get connected to other people that also pay. But there's one called All Things Lesbian, and it's lesbian specific, and it's totally free.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and when I attended your workshop, I was like, oh my gosh, I did so many things wrong, you know, that I was clueless about how I really should have done it, and how and why I did it. At the time, I was living in an area that didn't have much of a community, and I was just trying to find some friends to meet. I soon found out that there are people out there that really have lots of different kinds of interest, and not all of them were just looking for friendship. How do you begin? You develop what they call a profile, and this is where you kind of say something about yourself and your interests, your hobbies, your horoscope sign, things like that.
Well, the best way to develop a profile is to maybe ask a friend to help with some of your positive qualities. The last thing you ever want to do is put a whole bunch of negative stuff about yourself on, like, I just broke up with so-and-so, and, you know, I'm just so upset and sad and lonely, please date me. I mean, obviously, that's not going to be the best profile for you. And you're more likely to get someone who's going to try to abuse you through those profiles. But if you put something really positive together, but at the same time when you say, you know, I'm Deborah and I'm lovely and I have a lot of friends and I like to go to the movies and I like to go to comedy clubs, that's great. I wouldn't say, and I'm at KPFT every Monday night from this time to this time, please come find me, you know, or don't give your last name out. Really specific information you should sort of keep off of your profile until you get to know people, because those profiles are like postcards. Anything you write on the profile is being sent out to everyone anywhere in the world. So you want to make sure you're sort of vague, but at the same time, accentuate your qualities.
But you still want to be authentic.
You have to be honest about who you are, because eventually the person that you're going to date is going to know that you were kind of lying in your profile. If you're 5'3 and 150 pounds, don't say you're 5'9 and 120 pounds. You know, it's not going to work out for you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And why is it important that you do your own online homework?
Well, it's because not everybody's going to have the same experience. And to make sure that you know what the terms and conditions of the websites are and know whether or not it's appropriate, it's really important for you to do that. So that way you don't get caught up in something that you're unable to block someone from contacting you if you, say, go out on a date with them and they're just not who you would like to date. You want to make sure that you have some safety net and that the site will provide a safety net for you. For if there's an abusive person, you can report that person to the website.
And you want to make sure that you're really clear and honest about what your intentions are. Whether if you say, I'm just looking to meet friends, then say that. If you're saying, I'm looking for a long-term relationship, say that. I'm looking to date with possibilities of more, or
I'm looking for just sex. You have to be really careful, because if that's what you want, you know, you need to just say what you want.
Yeah, and you can even do searches by keywords, and if you mm-hmm. just want sex, you can say sex, and it'll give you all the other people that are just looking for sex. But we don't necessarily advocate that.
I was going to say, we need a disclaimer here of some kind.
Not that
KPFT does not endorse
looking for sex. No, we think it's fine for people to seek out people, appropriate people to have consensual adult sexual relationships with, but this is why this can be a really fun. I mean, I've corresponded with some people, and it's been like met some really nice people and mm-hmm. had fun corresponding. How do you go? I mean, is there usually the intent that we're going to email a little bit and kind of get to know each other, and then we're going to set up a date? Or
I would hope so. That's what I'm hoping for, that people would actually spend time and get to email. Because, you know, there have been sort of a rash of people who will get on these personal sites, and what they're doing is they're looking for someone who's kind of vulnerable and somewhat lonely, and so they start baiting them with these questions. And then all of a sudden, maybe you'll get an email that says, you know, oh, my car just broke down, and I want to get my mother over from the Ukraine or wherever, and could you give me some money? And then that person will feel like they've made a connection through the email. So you have to really be careful. And the longer you spend emailing someone back and forth, the better you're going to know what their intentions are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's sort of like the do's and don'ts. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
A,
well, they might even say, oh, my car just broke down and I need a ride somewhere. And I know we haven't even met yet, but I don't know, you know, I can't get a hold of anyone else. Could you come help me? And then it really be a setup.
That should be a red flag to you right there.
That is a red flag. Another red flag is someone who, if you're emailing back and forth and they start asking you where you've been, if you haven't emailed them immediately back, like, what are you doing that you're not emailing me back quickly enough?
They start talking about
like future relationships and you haven't even met them, like, you know, well, one day when we're living together, that should be a red flag. Block.
For our second anniversary, I would like to.
Exactly.
What do you do to go from online to setting up that first date, and what kind of suggestions do you have for that?
Yeah, again, the do's and don'ts.
Yeah. Well, actually, these are more do's. The more, when you go to set up a date with somebody, what you're going to want to do is email them, find a common place, somewhere maybe in between both houses, you know, both people's residencies, and somewhere where you're both comfortable.
But not necessarily a place that you frequent a lot.
Well, it could be, but
I've heard because if they know you hang out there and then they turn out to be a weirdo, then they might
start. They can stalk you there.
Yeah, they could follow you there.
So if you normally go to the Starbucks on Hawthorne and Montrose, you might want to pick the Starbucks over on West Grand. One of the Starbucks on West Grand and Shepherd.
One
of the Starbucks. I'll meet you at Starbucks.
Yeah, you might also want to be specific about which place you're going to go. But I'd also pick a place that's in your comfort zone, in the sense that for your first date, you might not want to start out with a really expensive restaurant if you're not used to spending a lot of money for dates, or you don't have money to just kind of burn and throw away, because that sets a tone for your relationship that you're going to always be able to go to these really expensive places. You might want to instead go to, you know, a coffee shop is a perfect place. A coffee shop, dress the way you normally dress. Don't go to the Nines dressing because they'll expect that from you every time. And who can keep up with that? So,
and if you've discussed a few things, you might have found some things that you have common interests that might guide you towards where you might, you know, having a picnic at Miller Outdoor Theater during one of the plays where there's going to be a lot of people around,
That sounds like a great date.
Then I'll pick you up. and you always want somebody to know exactly where you are during that time, like a trusted friend to say, you know, look, I'm meeting this new person, and this is when we're going to be meeting. And
I've had my parents and coworkers take down license plate numbers and things where, you know, so that way they know who it is that I'm going out with. And then if something should happen, I don't show up for the next week or so. Hopefully it would take them a little less time than a week to figure out I was gone. But maybe they could call the police and say this is who they were with.
Well, I've heard that if you're going out on a blind date like this or a date that you've made over the internet, is to tell someone that I will call you at some time, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, during the date or right after the date, so when your best friend doesn't get the phone call, she's calling you or he's calling you, and you, if you don't answer, that's when, you know, an alarm goes up immediately, not later on or 2 days from there.
On TV where they had someone call them while they were with the person, and then that way, if it wasn't going well, real well, they could say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but I have this emergency call and I have to leave. Yes. It was so nice to meet you. Goodbye."
A little fake out.
Yeah,
there.
And on this show, the other person had the same thing going on, but it turned out that they liked each other and they didn't want the fake phone call.
But that's been going on ever since we had cell phones.
Yeah, this is true. As,
even when you didn't get a phone call, you just go beep beep beep. Oh, hello.
Yeah. Yes. Well, going along with that, though, along those lines, if you are uncomfortable at any point during a date, you can always say, you know, I've got to go. Or if you don't like the person at the end of the date, you're just like, I'm not going to really date this person. Just be kind to them, but be firm and explain, you know, I'm not really interested in dating you. I'm sorry, it's not about you. There's just not a spark.
Well, also, and then this is probably a good idea that I've heard and been told many times on any first date, is to set a time limit on the date. I'll meet you say, you know, I'll meet you at 7. We'll meet it between 7 and 8:30, you know, from 7 to 8:30, so that you already have a deadline. If you want to extend it or they want to extend it, you can always do so. But, you know, I've got to go at 8:30 and you're out. And then you don't make anybody wrong. You just go in and leave.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That sets that limitation.
Well, let's establish what's the difference between internet dating and hookups.
Well, hookups are specifically designed to have sex. And I know. Scandalous, but there are a lot of people who do that, and I think it's
hookup.com.
Yeah, might want to start your own site. I don't know.
Jennifer,
I don't think if there's anything
with Jennifer at.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think that it does lead to being a little more dangerous of a situation.
Yeah, I've heard of some very bad cases where, well, one thing is where they're meeting you is your house or a motel, and that puts you in a real vulnerable position, and there's been some people that have been beat up, robbed, probably worse. I don't even know. We hear so much about these people, the pedophiles, and soliciting with underage, and we're clearly talking about consenting adults that, you know, hopefully have all the capacity to make up their...
You know, and especially in situations like that, the person, you know, may not understand what no means. I mean, if you hook up and suddenly you decide, no thank you, then that leaves you open for, you know, being brutalized.
Yeah. Well, or you know, again, the internet is kind of special in the sense that I could go on Google and take a picture of some beautiful Russian model and put it on my profile, and then I show up, and if I'm rejected, I might get angry about that, you know. So, or I mean, it can be anything to bait you into one of these situations. And there have been situations where people have been robbed in their homes and tied up and things that, you know, beaten up and had things happen to them. That doesn't happen in every case, you know. I mean, it's not something to be afraid of, as long as you follow some guidelines to keeping yourself safe. And the first one is always meet in a public place initially. So that way you can see, even if it's just a Kroger's parking lot on Montrose, so you can see what that person looks like and make sure that, yes, that's the person that I agreed to go on this hookup with.
And take their picture and send it to your best friend and say, this is who I'm out with. And
well, we're hearing some of the horror stories and the possibilities. But, you know, what do I do to safeguard myself in situations? Is there a checklist that we need to be aware of and be cautious of?
I think initially, don't use your real name is a good one.
Well, I think you could use your real first name. I wouldn't go the full distance and give them your first and last name and social security number.
Unless
or
you can
like
Google
that.
Your first name and it comes up with all kinds of information.
Yeah.
Like Jennifer Renee.
Yeah. Well, that's your first and middle name. Our first and last, depending.
Mm-hmm. But what you can do, though, is if you meet in that public place, say you've agreed, well, first off, before anything
even
happens. You're
on security cameras, hello.
Yeah. Before anything happens, though, you want to make sure that you've agreed upon some things, like how you're going to have sex, what are you going to do during the sexual act, are you going to use condoms. Make sure that you agree to all those things first, and then when you meet, then wherever you guys are going to go, back to your house, get their license plate number. Let them follow you back to your house, but make sure that you've put your wallet up and any expensive, valuable things. Don't deadbolt yourself into the house.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have one of those
and
key
again,
deadbolts
sure
where the key comes
out.
Someone
you trust knows.
That you've got someone over. Yeah. And if you're going to follow them home, write down their address. Write down how you got there. Leave a message on your own voicemail that says where you're going, what the address is, what time you plan on leaving, those sort of things. What you're wearing is also a good thing. So, I mean, just sort of safeguarding yourself that way can protect you. And if you let the person know up front that you're going to be doing this, they're less likely to show up if they had a plan to harm you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just one of the ugly realities of our days and times in that regard. But there are, I've known several people that have met over the internet. Or in
had
long-term
very
relationship.
Successful relationships.
Yes, and so no one should rule it out. And I'm sorry that our time is up. Allison, I thank you so much for being with us from the Montrose Counseling Center. And you can get more information on this topic through the Counseling Center.
Absolutely. You can do that. And if you do have any problems, feel free to call us, and we'll be able to assist you with services.
They have a nice little handout, and I guess these are available through the Counseling Center?
Mm-hmm. They can call us, and we can make the handout available.
Okay, well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Queer Voices, and up next, the rest of This Way Out.
A Broadway veteran shares backstage secrets about Catherine Cornell, Tennessee Williams, Charles Laughton, and many others. But first, let's take a minute to remember a not-so-secret early movie star.
William Haynes, Hollywood's first openly gay star, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Born in 1900 in Stanton, Virginia, William Haynes ran away from home at age 14 with his first boyfriend. He soon found his way to Greenwich Village, free from southern constraints. Winning a national talent search, Haynes signed on at Goldwyn Studios and was off to Hollywood. His sly, devil-may-care persona garnered him top box office star status in 1930. By then, Haynes was living openly with Jimmy Shields as a couple. Hollywood legend has it that MGM insisted that Haynes choose between his film career or homosexuality. In 1934, his contract was not renewed, but he parlayed his fame into a highly successful interior design business. His relationship with Shields endured until Haynes' death in 1973. His close friend, Joan Crawford, called it Hollywood's only successful marriage. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Garth Ellis.
Hi, this is Easy, an actor's life for me. A wax mustache and a beaver coat, a pony cart and a filly goat. Hi, this is Easy, an actor's life is fun.
When veteran actor, director, playwright Charles Nolte made his Broadway debut in 1947, even the theater's most blatantly homosexual material went largely unacknowledged. The world is at a decidedly different stage now, and Nolte finds no need to mince words about the plays and the people that have populated his celebrated career. Not that he's by any means retired from the boards. Nolte recently starred in the world premiere in Minneapolis, Minnesota of the two-act drama Exit Strategy, in which an elderly gay thespian and his friend face the closure of their hotel residence. He compares stages, past and present, with This Way Out correspondent John Townsend and Dixie Dreichel.
Charles, how old are you?
84.
84. Well, we're
just a child.
Looking quite resplendent, actually. Yeah, that's great. No.
I don't consider 84 that. My first production in New York was in Catherine Cornell's production of Antony and Cleopatra. Catherine Cornell, who was the leading serious actress in the whole of history of the American theater for about 40 years. Now, when she mounted Antony in 1946-47, She hired these young guys. I was one of them. One of them was Charlton Heston, Eli Wallach, Maureen Stapleton, Tony Randall. They were all appearing in a Broadway production for the first time. She wanted to bring in the young people.
Mm-hmm. You were Billy Budd on Broadway in 1951. That has raging homoerotic and homoromantic subtext.
Well, of course it does have that, but how would you find that out if you read the text at the time and all the literary criticism? You have a gorgeous young man there, and you've got two older men who are killing each other over him, but they're not admitting that. But that the young man is a figurehead, basically, since he can't speak correctly. I mean, he has a speech impediment. He doesn't have to say much at all, but there's no question in the book, certainly, if you read the book with any kind of degree of...
Yeah, by Herman Melville.
It's rank with all of that sort of thing. But the fact that when that play came on in New York, 1951, even before, in the 49, in the first version, which was called Uniform of Flesh, in which I also appeared, there were 9 metropolitan daily newspapers at that time. But all 9 theater critics could go through, give this play, this is in 51, wonderful reviews without ever mentioning the word homosexuality.
Homosexuality wouldn't be mentioned on stage.
Of all plays that I've been in on Broadway, almost all of the directors were gay, but did anybody know it? Of course not. And there's an attempt to hide something which, within another 20 years, nobody bothered to hide at all.
Right.
Look what happened to Rock Hudson, my God.
You were friends with Tennessee Williams.
I was, and Tennessee was one of the very first, you see, to break the barrier. Although even he, because Kazan didn't want that particular aspect of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof emphasized, but it's absolutely clear in the text, and it's certainly clear in Tennessee's mind, that the relationship between Brick and his fellow football player was a homoerotic situation. Mm-hmm. But did anyone come out and say that?
Mm-hmm.
Not in so many words, and yet there it is. Kane Mutiny Court Martial, Charles Laughton ultimately ended up directing, who was, of course,
right.
gay.
Yep.
Dick Powell began directing. And can you imagine, Paul Gregory, the producer, had this huge, potentially enormous hit, and he hires this Hollywood actor who had never directed a play in his life. And within 2 weeks of the rehearsal, everybody in the cast knew that it was impossible. To where Laughton, sitting in the back, he wasn't about to see his producer friend end up with a $2 million fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you've got to get rid of that guy. And I don't mean tomorrow or next week. I mean tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
he did. It took him throwing him into a swimming pool and a lot of other crazy goings on. But from that moment on, Charles Laughton, he cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And he so terrorized most of the actors in it, including myself, that many of them quit. They could not stand the pressure.
Wow.
And my own experiences with Laughton, when he tried to figure out what to do with me as the character playing Willie Keith, he knew Billy Budd, so obviously he knew what my image was, but he subjected me to a crucial couple of nights by his swimming pool of most extraordinary psychotherapy. All to the good, because I think it did help me a lot. And Laughton's association with Henry Fonda, who's the big star of the production, became more and more and more poisonous the more that Laughton insisted, bringing in a lot of the sexuality. In the journal, I kept the entire Kane Mutiny court-martial period. I've got marvelous stories of furious and angry tirades back and forth between Laughton and Fonda. Tea and Sympathy, which are playing across the street all the time, the Kane Mutiny Court Martial. There's another play where this guy is obviously gay, this high school kid, you know, and yet it strikes me as so absurd today, looking back,
mm-hmm.
and how blinkered we all were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could never have told, as I never was able to tell my own father, that I was gay. I think I knew that from the age of 12. But
right.
I didn't talk about that. Even today, I find it very difficult to talk with my two sisters. They know I've lived with the same man for 50 years. And my brother, who just recently died, I never had a conversation mm-hmm. with him about this subject.
Did it completely open up after Stonewall?
Stonewall, of course, is a major, major point of reference in all of this. And ultimately, the histories have already made it clear that situation effectively began the sea change. And mm-hmm. what is rather appealing to me is the speed with which the change came about. And today, of course, it's an axiomatic. It's not a question any longer.
Yeah.
And particularly with young people. So refreshing.
And you worked with Charlton Heston. And
Charlton and I roomed together in two Broadway shows, and I knew them very well. Heston was like acting with a refrigerator, and the clanging of bells and the great voice of his. But when I knew Charlton, he was not absorbed with the National Rifle Association.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a very interesting man. I kept seeing Heston all through his life because, you know, we've run into each other here, there, and yon. And, wow. But I'll miss him.
After you had a career on Broadway, did you then go into film, or did you begin teaching or writing?
Well, I'd been in film before before the Cane Mutiny, and then I went to Europe and spent 7 years in Europe where my real education began. And the more I spent in Europe, particularly in Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and in Munich, and even in London, I saw how parochial the New York theater was.
Yeah.
It's rooted in realism. Any idea about how to do anything in the absurdist tradition of the modern isms in the theater, and I'd seen all of these things brilliantly in the Brecht Theater in Berlin,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So,
you know Albee, correct?
Edward, yes.
Yes.
It's funny. Edward and I both lived in Berlin more or less at the same time when he was doing Zeus Story in those early plays. And we didn't know each other over there, but we did actually, dare I say it, share a lover. It came out at lunch one day. One of my most heartwarming, memorable experiences in my career, of course, is when Tennessee Williams came out here to see my production of Streetcar at the University of Minnesota. And the night he came to see it, and I was absolutely convinced that he never would make it to the theater because he, you know, his suitcase, which I lifted off the rack at the airport, was a lot of glass in it. He was afraid this was a dry state. I was convinced that he'd be dead drunk in the Radisson under an assumed name. No, no, he came and he saw, and then he came to my house for the cast party. Can you imagine? Here he is sitting on the floor in the living room while drinking, I don't know, cold duck or whatever it was. All these kids clustering around, and then suddenly at 3 a.m. he gets up and goes to the telephone in the kitchen. He's calling his agent in New York. Oh, Billy, I've discovered the real Blanche Dubois. I know it's 3 a.m. Billy.
You have a new play, and it's called Exit Strategy. Can you tell us a bit about how the gay aspect is?
Well, there's no attempt at using subterfuges of any kind. He's openly gay. He speaks of it, and he speaks of his experiences. Mm-hmm. He gets drunk at a gay bar and comes in, and there's no question about what he's been doing and where he's mm-hmm. been and what effect it has on him. He's mm-hmm. an old queen. And there's no question about we're not living in a police state. We're not afraid any longer of admitting our roles in life. That's encouraging, considering what the theater has been in the past and how these various aspects of homosexuality and lesbianism have been used in the theater. I would like to say that I appreciate a lot the people like you who take the interest in these things, mm-hmm. particularly from the gay perspective. You know, mm-hmm. I've lived the whole gay experience of this century in this country, and this is wonderful that there are people who can understand these things and make sense of them and then teach.
Mm-hmm.
Teach others.
That was 84-year-old openly gay actor, educator, director, and playwright Charles Nolte in conversation with John Townsend and Dixie Trichel. And this is Sugar Beach.
Limpin' up, limpin' up, limpin' up, cry.
Raise your hands, shake the ground.
That was Living Out Proud, the theme song for this year's LGBT Pride festivities in Vancouver, BC, performed by Canadian lesbian pop dance duo Sugar Beach. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Chris Wilson, Pam Marshall, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Jug Proctor and Brian Burns with Garth Ellis, and Dixie Treichel and John Townsend contributed program material. Sugar Beach sang Living Out Proud, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the Listen Here banner at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep us on the air. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive weekly email alerts describing the content of each This Way Out program, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KUNM Albuquerque, New Mexico, CJLY Nelson, British Columbia, WDIY Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Cheer up.
We want to thank all the folks that were on tonight's program. Allison Vogt from the Montrose Counseling Center.
How about the fabulous Joan Jett?
Oh, please steal my heart.
Who will be performing this week?
And Colleen Fisher. Yeah. I just said that, didn't I?
No.
Colleen Fisher from the Bayou City Performing Arts.
I'll have what you're having.
Yeah, and,
okay.
And Jack and I on Outvote for Pride coming up on the 28th of June.
Right. And so happy Pride Month to you all. And coming up next week?
Coming up next week, we do have the Houston Pride Band to talk about their 30th anniversary Pride concert, which is going to be June 27th. And then in the second hour, it's J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. That's next week on Queer Voices. You have been listening to Queer Voices. Heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Polensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
On behalf of the animals treated at our facility every year, Texas Wildlife Rehabilitation Coalition would like to thank its volunteers and supporters. Without you, TWRC would not be possible. Since 1979, TWRC has operated an emergency and rehabilitative care facility for orphaned, ill, and injured urban wildlife. The Summer Baby Bird Program is now in full swing, and bird feeding volunteers are always welcome, as are shelter volunteers. TWRC representatives are available for wildlife education presentations to your school, community, and civic groups. For more information on how you can help, visit our website at twrchouston.org. TWRC, caring for Texas wildlife, one animal at a time. KPFT Houston.
KPFT, its volunteers, staff, and listeners would like to thank the following restaurants for their continued support of KPFT. When you dine at these restaurants, please say thank you to them for their support of KPFT. Shipley's Donuts, 3932 North Main. McGonagall's, Mucky Duck, 2425 North Fork. McCain's Market, 550 Heights Boulevard. Carter and Cooley Company, 375.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.